It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. Hey, welcome back to the SwampSwamiSports.com podcast. Today, let's take a closer look at the USFL's week number two. The second weekend of football in this latest iteration of spring professional football is now in the books. The 2022 version of the USFL shows that some of their teams are beginning to find their offense, while a few of the others, well, they're definitely in need of some help. We're here to help, too. I think this spring football league has the potential to survive, so we're going to keep a close eye on it. First, here's a wrap-up of the scores in the second weekend of play. Now remember, all of the USFL's regular season games are played in Birmingham, Alabama, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later. On Friday night, the first game of the weekend was the New Jersey Generals against the Michigan Panthers. Final score was New Jersey 10 and Michigan 6. Now if you were to say first 1 to 10 points wins, well, this game would have been for you. For the rest of us, though, it was pretty boring, just about like the final score indicated of 10-6. The only drama came during the final series of the game, as Michigan's quarterback Shea Patterson finally started to connect with some receivers as he scrambled around for his life to buy enough time to throw the ball. The Panthers finally made it inside the New Jersey 20-yard line in the final seconds, but failed to get into the end zone as the clock expired. New Jersey now moves to 1-1 on the year, and Michigan is a much-deserved 0-2 after their first two games. On Saturday, two games were played. In the first one, Philadelphia defeated the Pittsburgh Maulers 30-23. The battle for Pennsylvania occurred several hundred miles south of the Keystone State on Saturday afternoon in Birmingham. The Stars jumped out to an early 14-3 lead, but Pittsburgh's tough defense snagged a fumble and returned it 79 yards for a touchdown to help make this game come alive. This was the first USFL game of the season in which both of the starting quarterbacks passed for more than 200 yards. Philly's Byron Scott from Occidental College went for 272 and 3 touchdowns, while the Pittsburgh Maulers' Josh Love, who played collegiately at San Jose State, passed for 236 and 2 touchdowns. Philadelphia squares its record now at 1-1, and the Pittsburgh Maulers are 0-2. Then on Saturday night, the second game was the Birmingham Stallions against the Houston Gamblers. Birmingham wins this game 33-28. The fans in Birmingham finally showed up to support their hometown Stallions, well, at least compared to the other three games that you were able to literally count the faces in the crowd. Go! Birmingham's Louisiana Tech connection, of former Bulldogs coach Skip Holtz, and his former quarterback, Jamar Smith, dialed up another winner Saturday night for the Stallions. Smith went 20 for 30 for 229 yards and a couple of touchdown passes to lead Birmingham. The Houston Gamblers quarterback, Clayton Thorson, who played collegiately in the Big Ten at Northwestern University, was picked off three times during the game. But Houston's defense kept it relatively close. These teams are definitely two of the better teams in the USFL through week number two. Birmingham still undefeated at 2-0. Houston fell to 1-1. And then in the finale Sunday afternoon, it was the New Orleans Breakers against the Tampa Bay Bandits, and the Breakers obliterated the Bandits 34-3. With an NBC national audience watching this game played in a nearly empty stadium, the New Orleans Breakers made a statement in clobbering the favored Tampa Bay Bandits. New Orleans quarterback Kyle Sloter, who played collegiately at Northern Colorado, completed 25 of 39 passes on the day for 266 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions for the Breakers. And the Breakers' defense grabbed 4 fumbles and 2 interceptions away from Tampa Bay as they shut down the Bandits' offense the entire afternoon. Tampa Bay's two quarterbacks combined for a pitiful 11 completions in 28 attempts for a meager 96 yards. New Orleans is now 2-0, and Tampa Bay lost their first game of the season to drop to 1-1. In week number two, though most of the 8 USFL teams passed the football a little bit more successfully than in week number one, this isn't exactly a pass-happy league just yet. The defenses remain solidly ahead of the offenses at this point in the season. Let's take a look at the league standings after week number two for the USFL's North Division. New Jersey Generals and Philadelphia Stars are both 1-1, while the Pittsburgh Maulers and Michigan Panthers bring up the rear at 0-2. In the USFL's South Division, New Orleans and Birmingham are both 2-0, and Houston and Tampa Bay are 1-1. Let's talk about the New Orleans Breakers' breakout. The Breakers' dominant performance last weekend against Tampa Bay has clearly marked them as the team to beat after week number 2. Though Birmingham is also 2-0 with their win over a solid Houston team, the Stallions' defense gave up 28 points in their 5-point win over the Houston Gamblers. But just how bad are the Michigan Panthers? Though the team ran the ball 29 times for just 74 yards and passed it 28 times for just 124 yards in week number 2, the team's woeful 200 yards of total offense for the entire game just isn't going to cut it. The New Jersey Generals even handed the Panthers 2 turnovers, but Michigan's offense was so bad they couldn't cash in on those gifts.
Sell, sell, sell!
The Panthers' defense is exceptional and has kept them in the games, but the Michigan offense is in serious need of an overhaul. The head coach of the Michigan Panthers is Jeff Fisher, a familiar name, a former NFL player with the Chicago Bears, and a head coach with the Tennessee Titans. It's a bit surprising to see his football team struggle so much in their first 2 football games. Now let's talk about the general vibe of the USFL. The USFL's owner is Fox Sports, and they're being very smart to try to minimize cost in this new football league, at least for year number 1. Rather than have the cost of having all 8 teams with 8 different football stadiums and requiring weekly travel to and from those 8 cities, this 2022 iteration of the USFL is designed to run on a proverbial shoestring. Fox Sports is hoping to average 1.4 million eyeballs every game this season, and the TV ratings for week number 1 came in pretty good, nearly 2 million. But the key will be retaining and building fan interest in the USFL every single weekend. TV viewership will make it or break it for this league. Given the relative lack of sports competition on television during the springtime, the advertising revenue for televised pro football games will determine whether the USFL becomes financially viable. And if the league can't get enough national advertisers to cover their bills, then the USFL, like many of their predecessors, won't make it beyond this first season. Let's talk now about Birmingham, a good idea and a bad idea together. All of the 10 weeks of the 2022 regular season for the USFL will be played in Birmingham, Alabama's brand new Protective Insurance Stadium. It's the future home of the UAB Blazers this fall. The league reportedly received a sweetheart deal from the city of Birmingham and Jefferson County, and the city, in turn, is hoping to build more tourism dollars as a result. Birmingham is hosting 4 USFL games each and every weekend for 10 straight weeks. Though the lack of travel is certainly conducive to saving a lot of money and dramatically reducing the television production cost, it's also showing the nation a nearly empty football stadium for 3 of the 4 games that are played every weekend. The state of Alabama is certainly football happy, but the USFL's management might have been a bit foolish to expect football fans to show up in Birmingham to watch 4 different games every single weekend for 10 weeks this spring. If you think the attendance is bad now, just wait until the temperatures in Birmingham hit 90 degrees soon. And there's a good reason that us Southerners prefer our football in the fall when the temperatures are dropping. Here's a question. Are the players getting a bit too cozy while living together in Birmingham? I'm a bit concerned that the 8 USFL teams and their players are beginning to know each other a little bit too well off the field. Birmingham, which has a metro area of about 1 million people, isn't so big that the football players can't pal around a bit during the week. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for building lifelong friendships in sports. The 8 USFL teams, though, stay in the same city, the same hotels, and use the same practice facilities each week for over 3 months. And you've got to believe that many of the football players on the opposing teams are becoming friends during the week. And this should have been expected. And again, I don't find it bad for the players or the league over the long term. However, once the USFL football teams take the field each weekend, I'm noticing less of the expected chippiness that you might see during a college or pro football game played during the fall. And I have to believe that this is a direct and unexpected result of having one team owner, Fox Sports, which owns all 8 football teams and expects them to play via the same primary mandate, which I think might mean something like this: let's look good on TV, but don't kill the quarterback. Last weekend, this coziness phenomenon resulted in a few of the games being played with as much intensity as your average college football team's spring scrimmage game. A nearly empty football stadium doesn't help matters. The empty stadium simply adds to the scrimmage game feel. And the USFL players want to make a good impression and try to impress any NFL scouts who might be observing their games. It's also important not to purposely hurt the other players on the opposing teams either. This is, you know, one big eight-team family with the same owner, Fox Sports. Personally, I'd like to see a little bit more intensity on the field during the weeks to come. Shake hands after the game, and then go play golf on Monday together. Let's take a look at a preview for week number 3. Here's the weekend slate of games coming up this weekend for week number 3 in the USFL. On Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central, the Tampa Bay Bandits will play at the Houston Gamblers. Of course, all of these games are in Birmingham. That one will be on Fox Television Saturday afternoon. And in the doubleheader on Fox at 7 p.m. Central, mark this one down, Birmingham Stallions at the New Orleans Breakers. On Sunday afternoon at 1:30, the Pittsburgh Maulers will play the Michigan Panthers on USA Network. And then Sunday night, if you don't have Peacock, you need to get it. If you want to watch the New Jersey Generals and Philadelphia Stars play Sunday night at 7 p.m. on Peacock, it's an internet version of NBC. Now, the feature game in week number 3 will be Saturday night on Fox between the two remaining unbeaten teams, Birmingham and New Orleans. And this has the making of a great football game for television. With a large crowd in Birmingham expected to cheer on the home city Stallions, the local team should have a little bit more juice on their side of the football field. But knowing how passionate New Orleans fans can be, don't be surprised if you hear several hundred Breakers fans driving up from the Crescent City to show some love for their football team this Saturday night, too. Put this game on the calendar. It should be a dandy Saturday night, 7 o'clock, Fox TV. I'm Swamp Swami. Come back and see us.